Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Tes, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Beis. So the last few Mishnayos of this two Perek Sugya, Perek Yeshnoichel and a Perek Mishameis, discusses two people dying, and there's a suffix who died first with ramifications in Hilchas Nachlis. The first Mishnah on Kuf Nun Zayin and Aleph discussed Nafal Habayis Olav ve'al Oviv. There was a man and his father together in a bias. The bias fell. Both of them died. And the question was, who died first? Yarshei Ov are saying one thing. The Yarshei Aben, in that case, there was a Baal Choyv and a Ksubas Isha are saying something else. There was a Safik. The second Mishnah, which was on Kuf Nun Chesam and Aleph, discussed Nafal HaBayis Olav ve'al Ishtoi. And again, the same Shailah. Did the Isha die first? In which case, her husband yarshin her, or did the man die first? In which case, he would not be able to yarshin his wife, because even though there is a concept of Yerusha Bekever, but Eina Baal Yerush as Ishtoi Bekever. The third Mishnah was Nafal Abayis Olav Ve'al Imoy, where there was a man, not with his father, not with his wife, but rather with his mother. The house fell, both of them died, and again, there's a Shailah. Did he die first, or did his mother die first? Again, a discussion, what exactly the halacha would be. So regarding this last Mishnah, Nafal HaBayis Olav Al Imoy, the Mishnah said, Eilav Eidu Moidim Sheyachloiku, that despite the fact that in the previous Mishnayas, there was a machloikus b'shamim and b'sil, what exactly the halacha would be. In this Mishnah, the Tanakhama says, everyone agrees, both b'shamim and b'sil, that the halacha is going to be achloiku. Rabbi Akiva said, I don't agree, Moidani b'zush anachasim b'cheskasan. I think that even in this case, the halacha, according to Beis Hillel, is going to be what it was in the previous two Mishnah. And that is, you treat it as a regular Suffolk moment, and I'm having a hard enough time dealing with the fact that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued in the previous Mishnayos that Beis Hillel didn't agree to Beis Shammai in the first two Mishnayos, and rather than Paskin Yachloiku, they said Nechasim Becheskasim. You're coming now, and you're coming to tell me that even in this case, where maybe we can get away with saying there's no Machloikis, even here there's a Machloikis. So at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara explained what the Svara was. Why should we say that here it would be a little bit more pashit? But either way, we pick up on a more agav note. Amali ben Azai al chalukamanu mitzdarin. Amar Absamloi ando amra ben Azai Talmud Chavad Rabbi Akiva Haver. From this Mishnah, we see that ben Azai was a Talmud Chavad Rabbi Akiva, meaning he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he felt on some level like a counterpart of Rabbi Akiva, the Kamalei Shabasa. And you see it from the way he spoke to Rabbi Akiva, because if Rabbi Akiva was a regular Rebbe and ben Azai would talked to him like a Talmud would to a Rebbe, he would have never said, Shebasa, you, Rebbe. You don't say you to your Rebbe. You speak in the third person. So from the fact that he didn't say Rabbeinu, but rather he said Shebasa, that's a raya that despite the fact that we know in Shas, Ben Azai was Talmud Rabbi Akiva, but he was a Talmud Chavad Rabbi Akiva. It's actually interesting because there are many Gemaras where you see Rabbi Akiva had a tremendous amount of respect for Ben Azai. Ben Azai was a super genius. He was a super masmid. Ben Azai was the one who didn't get married. He said, there's a Tosfos that says that Ben Azai really did get married. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter, and Rabbi Akiva's daughter had the same fate as Rabbi Akiva's wife. Just like Rabbi Akiva's wife had a husband, Rabbi Akiva, leave her for 24 years. Rabbi Akiva's daughter had the same thing. But either way, there's a lot between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai and Shas. So this just is a little bit more fuel to that fire. A Gemara here tucked away in Bava Basra, Kuf Nun Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that despite the fact that Ben Azai was a Talmud, even the Eden of Rabbi Akiva, but he was an Edom Chaver. He was a Talmud Chaver, the Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara, Shochu Mitam, they sent the following Shailah from Eretz Yisrael to Bav. Ben Shelova Bin Nechsei Aviv, a son that borrowed money against the assets of his father, who was alive at the time. So man has a son, father's alive, the son goes, he borrows money. The lender asked, are you going to pledge any collateral for this loan? He said, yeah. He says, what are you pledging? He says, my father's nechasim. One day my father's going to die. I'm going to yashin it. So while his father was alive, he went and he pledged the assets. Umeis. And then afterwards, Benoi, the son died. The halacha is, Benoi, the son of the son, third dar, moitz miyad alakuchas, has a right to be moitz miyad alakuchas. Now, if this doesn't make a lot of sense, It's not supposed to make sense, as the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. And this halacha that they sent was a very, very shver halacha. What does that mean? We'll see. It's almost like a chida, like a riddle. Says the Gemara, Loiva my mapik. Just how do you even read the words of the story? It sounds like somebody borrowed money against his father's assets while his father was alive. And then the next thing you know, there's the kuchais over here. In order to have lekuche, something has to be sold. No one said anything about anything being sold. Ella says, the Gemara, Yitma Hachi, let me tell you what the Sholchum Itam was, and you'll understand a little bit about what's going on. It Ben Shemachav Nechseyav, this was really what happened. There was a person who sold his father's Nechasin, Bechaye Yaviv, while his father was still alive. Umeis, and then the father died, and the son died. The halacha is that Benoi, the grandson, Moitzi Miyad Alekuchas. He has a right to be Moitzi Miyad Alekuchas. Meaning, had the son not sold the nechasim of the father, then right now the aunt, the grandson would have yarshed those nechasim. Because the Zayda died, the son died, the grandson would have yarshed it. The reason the grandson's not yarshing it is because his father sold it. So the grandson can come now with a taina, and he could say, my father, who sold those nechasim to you, really had no right to sell it. Because when he sold it, his own father was alive. So this was the halacha. Benoi moitzi miyad alekuches. The grandson has a right to be moitzi miyad alekuches. And the Gemara says, v'zui shekasha bedinei mominus. That despite the fact that this is the halacha, but it's really a very difficult halacha. If you think about it, it's a very, very shvera halacha. Says the Gemara. Why? Because v'le rule avuch mazbin va'at mapik, the lekuches should have a koyach ataino. They should be able to tell this grandson that what's your schus to be able to be moitzi it from me, the fact that you got it from your father. If your father sold it, your schus shouldn't be any better than what your father's schus was. And being that your father sold it, you shouldn't have a right to take it. The Rishonim are very bothered with this Gemara is like one big enigma. Because Pashup Shai, what do you mean? You're right, the grandson is coming because of his father, but at the end of the day, the father's mechira wasn't a good mechira. At the time that he sold it, it wasn't his. He can't sell something that's not yours. So it's true, the koyach hataina of this grandson has something to do with his father, but at the end of the day, the original mechira wasn't a good mechira. So I'm Birishayim, and they try to give Zechanetze here with this Gemara. But again, what was the case? A ben shemacha benichse yaviv, bichaye yaviv, Umeis. Now the grandson wants to be moitzi miyad alekuches. He could, but it's a very shvera halacha. This was the telegram that came from Eretz Yisrael. Vizui shekasha b'dinei mominus. Why? Because it doesn't make sense that the grandson should be able to be moitzi from the lekuches when the meicher was his own father. Because v'leim rulei, why shouldn't we be able to tell him avucha mazben v'at mapik? But the Gemara says, my kosher, duma matzi yomen b'kai chavud abakasina. Why can't the grandson say that I'm not taking it from my father, I'm really taking it from my grandfather? So apparently what happened was the son died before the grandfather, or the father died before the grandfather. So being that the grandson is yarshing it from his grandfather, so maybe it's not such a taina. Meaning if he was getting it from his father sold it, so then there's this taina of a lame relay avuch mazmin vat mapik. It doesn't make sense. But being that he's really yarshing it not from his father, but from his grandfather, why isn't he yarshing it from his father? Because his father wasn't alive at the time. So why is it v'zui shekasha v'dinei mominus? Because there's such an obvious taina with this halacha of v'leim rulei avuch mazben v'at mapich. Why is it such an obvious taina? And teda, by the way, a raya that a grandson can yarshin his grandfather, because the pasuk says, tachas avisecha yuvanecha tishisei meilusarim b'chal aretz. So you see that there's an idea that a grandson yarshins his grandfather. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that there's a very yisoidi shaila. Every time a grandson yarshins his grandfather, how do you look at it? From a Hilchas Nachla standpoint, do you look at it as that a grandson has a schus to yarshin directly from his grandfather? A son yarshins his father, person can yarshin his brother, a person can yarshin his grandfather. Or no, really a person doesn't yarshin his grandfather. The reason Yerusha goes from a grandfather to a grandson is because the grandson's father, despite the fact that he's not alive, because if he was alive, he would yarshin the grandfather, despite the fact that he's not alive, he could still be Yerush. Yerush be kever, it's what we know as mishmush. We spoke, I read about mishmush in the beginning of Yesh Leichlin. It's what we know as mishmush. So be kever, he yarshins, and then he has an ability to be manchal over to his grandson. So when the grandson gets it, is he getting it from his father who got it from the Zayda, or is he getting it directly from the Zayda? And the Gemara somehow says that it should be toy in how you look at this case. If the grandson gets it from his father, and his father sold it, despite the fact that when he sold it, he never had a right to sell it, because he sold it, but there's still a svara, and that's why the Gemara considered this telegram as vizui shekosha v'dinei mamonos, as a very, very difficult halacha to wrap our head around, because it doesn't make sense that if a father sells something, that his own son, who's only coming mikayachim, should be able to be moitzim yad alakuchas. But if the grandson doesn't get it from his father, who got it from his father, but he gets it directly from the grandfather, so his chus in it is not his father, his chus in it is his eda. So the fact that his father sold it should be neither here nor there. And there's no taina then of a lame relay of uch mazm vat mapik. So based on that, says the Gemara, umay kushya. Meaning, there was this halacha that came from Eretz Yisrael. Ben shabakab nechza v'chayu avu meitz b'lei meitz b'lei l'kuchayz. Vizui shakash b'dinei mamanis. Vizui shakash b'dinei mamanis assumes that the way it's grandson yarshin's his grandfather is through his father. It's through mishmush. Through the father being Yerush Bekeber, but the Gemara's kasha is Mechitesi. Maybe it's not the way it works. Ella says the Gemara, I kasha, ha kasha. Meaning, there was some letter that came from Eretz Yisrael that was very shver, where they commented, Vizuhi Shekasha B'dini Mamanis. We thought that the halacha that came from Eretz Yisrael was this halacha. The problem is, if this was the halacha, then it's not so shver. So it couldn't have been the halacha. Meaning, we're trying to find a shver halacha. Usually you try to answer a kasha. Here we're actually trying to find a kasha because there was a brief that said, that's for Dovi, there was a brief that said that Vizuhi Shekosha B'dinei Mamonos. That is what it said. So we need to retrofit now. We have to work backwards, back into a halacha that it would make sense to say Vizuhi Shekosha B'dinei Mamonos. This is a little confusing because it's counterintuitive. Usually you're not trying to find something shver. Usually you try to answer things when they're shver. You try to find things that make sense. But here we're actually trying to find something shver. So Eli Kasha Hakasha. If I can find you a halacha that is shver, maybe this is the halacha. Ben Bechor Shemachar Chelik Bechor Bechayaviv. There was a Bechor who's entitled to Pishnayim, but only when his father dies. And while his father was alive, he sold his Pishnayim. Umei. And then he died b'chayei aviv while the Zayda was alive. Benoi moitzim yad alakuchais. When the Zayda later dies, the grandson can be moitzim yad alakuchais. Vizui shakash b'dini mamanis. This is for sure very shver. You know why? Because avua mazben iu mapik. How could the grandson be moitzim yad alakuchais something that his father sold? V'chitem. You can tell me hokinami amami koy chavu da abakasino. You can tell me the same exact teretz that you said before. What's different? It's the same exact story. It's true the grandson yarshins, but he doesn't yarshin necessarily from his father who yarshins from the grandfather. Maybe the grandson yarshins directly from the grandfather. But the Gemara says here it can't be, because imi koy chavua da abakasio. If the way you're looking at the Yerusha is that the grandson's taking it directly from the grandfather, then b'chelik b'chayr ma'avidite, why is he getting pishnayim? So the fact that he gets pishnayim, that's the dead giveaway over here. That's a raya that the grandson's getting it from his father, who is the b'char. But the point is, you see for sure that it's going through the father. Because if you're going to tell me that it's not going through the father, then there should be no halacha of pishnayim. So in the previous case, we were dealing not with a b'char, a pashut. He's getting one chelik, so you could say he's getting it straight from the grandfather. You could say he's getting it through the father. So, he had no right. But if he's getting a pishnayim, and he himself is not the bechor, it must be he's getting his father's chelik, who is the bechor. So, this would then be a raya. He's getting it from his father. And still, the halacha is that the b'noy is moitz miyad alakuchas. I v'leim ruleya v'uch mazmin ba'at mapik. So this is the kasha b'dinim amanis. This is, in fact, a very shvera halacha. But the Gemara
is... sad to say that he yashes the schus of the father?
My kushya, Dilma Matsu Yomar Mikoyach Avua the Abakasino, Ubimakimov Koimno. Meaning the Yerusha goes directly from the grandfather. In, as far as the terms of the Yerusha go, the terms of the Yerusha are dictated not based on who he is, but rather based on what his father would have got. But at the end of the day, he's not taking it from his father. He's taking it from his grandfather. That's in essence what the Gemara says. Eli ikasha hakasha. So again, this is also not so shver. So if it's not shver, it's the wrong answer. We need to find a very shver halacha. Eli ikasha hakasha yedele edus b'shtar. If somebody knew edus, atchaloi nasa gazlin, v'nasa gazlin. So there was a person who signs on a shtar. And at the time that he signed on the shtar, he was a shomer Torah mitzvahs, he was an upkehit niyid. And then later, Nebuch, he became a gazlin. At this point, he's already posel edus. Now, if he signed the shtar at the time that he was a kosher, it's okay. However, the issue is going to be if you want to be mekayim the chesomis. Because we know that even though midda iraisa eidem achzum malashtar nasuk mishenachkri edus in the bezdin resh lakish is halacha gittin daf gimel amad aleph and in many different places in Shas, but the rabbanon were mechayev kiyum chesomis kiyum shtaris the rabbanon ksuvas chav chesam amad aleph tais over there say kiyum shtaris and then rabbanon midda rabbanon a person whips out a shtar, you owe me $1,000. How do you know I have a shtar with two eidem? It's nothing midda rabbanon midda iraisa. But midrabbanan not. Midrabbanan, you have to verify the chasimais. Until Bezdin verifies the chasimais and they write a henpik, until that point, you can't be goyvim mamin, even if you have a shtar. Now, how are you mekayim a shtar? There's three ways you can be mekayim a shtar. Either the edim and the shtar themselves walk in the Bezdin and they say, ksav yodeinu, this is our signature. Or two other edim come in. Or if there was a shtar that was previously used in Bezdin, that already had kiyum chasimais, then they can match it. They can verify. They had a database and they say, oh, we already know. You pull it up. This chasimah's work, then everything is going to be okay. So what happened over here was, you had two Aiden, they signed on a shtar, actually nasa gaza. And then, one or both of them became gazlonim, and now, someone's being ma'ar on the shtar, and we need a big mekayim, the chasimah. So who? The gazlon himself, inimate al ksav yodeh. He can't be made al ksav yodeh. So if somebody else will be made al ksav yodeh, maybe that'll be okay. But right now, how can I be made al ksav yodeh? Right now I'm a gazlon. So if I'm a gazlon, there's no way to do it. But others could be made al ksav yodam. What's the kasha? This is perhaps, as the Gemara, shekosha bedine mominus. Hashde iu loy mehemen achrin mehemni. If they themselves wouldn't be believed to be mekayim their own chesamas, does it make sense that somebody else would be believed to be mekayim their chesamas? But the Gemara says, my kosha, why is that such a kasha? Duma kagoin shehuchsech ksav yodai bebezen. And the Rishonim grappled to understand Pashup Shana in this Gemara. Every line is on the shver. Rashbam, Tosfos says that maybe when we say that Acherim Meyed, it's talking about where the Acherim were also Meyed before he became a Gazlan, which was a time where they could have been Meyed for themselves, and Bezdin was holding that Eidos in case at some point later they would have to use it because a Shtar would come that they would have to be Mekayim. But it's not Muchach either way that when we say that Acherim are Meyed, it means they can be Meyed right now. Maybe right now when the Eid is a Gazlan, so the Eid cannot be Meyed on himself. Maybe Acherim wouldn't be able to be Meyed for him either. When it says that Acherim are Meyed, maybe it means if they said the Eidos previously, we can use the Eidus right now, even though it's at a time where the Eid himself wouldn't be able to be made. But this apparent difficulty, v'zui shekosha v'dinei mominus, that hashti iu le mehemin achrin mehemi, it's perhaps not muchach at all. This is not either the very shver halacha. Maybe this was the brief that came. If somebody knew or he signed Eidus on a shtar, at the time, he had no shaykhis to this. He wasn't in a game. Bedavar, there were no issues. So the halacha is, and then later, he became a Negei Bedavar. He became a Baal Davar. Had he become a Negei Bedavar? Because someone died, and then somebody else died, and he ended up yarshining this estate. So, 5 years ago, somebody said Eidos regarding a field that it belongs to his third cousin. In the last 5 years, he ended up becoming the Yerush. Now that he's the Yerush, it's his field. So if we're ever going to use that Eidos that this person said 5 years ago, it's going to come out. He's saying Eidos about something that's Negeya him. This is a classic Negeya Bedavar. You're going to have a big issue. So the Allah is, Hoyodele Eidos Beshtar Achel Tipa Yerusha, who ain't the Yachel Mekayim? Right now, he can't be Mekayim Ksavyot. Why can't he be Mekayim? It's very similar to the previous case. In the previous case, he was a Gazlan. In this case, he's a Negeya Bedavar. Because right now, how could I be Mekayim? My own signature, which is going to be Negei Ami. At the time that I said Eidos, I wasn't a Negei Bedavar. There was no issue. But right now, I'm a Negei Bedavar. So I don't have to say Eidos. But if I want to be Mekayim, my own Chasima, which is one of the three forms of Kiyum Shtaris, then we're running back into issues of Negei Bedavar. So he cannot do it himself. Aval Acherim, Yecholim Mekayim Ksav Yodeh. And what's the problem? The same Kasha. Hash the Iu, Loi Mehemen, Achrini, Behemdi, but the Moran says, oh my gosh, Yedom HaHachin, Ami Goyen, Shehuchas Ksav Yodeh, Bebezden. We answer the first Kasha, why can't we answer the same Kasha in the same way? Maybe when we say that others could be Mekayim is Chesomis, it doesn't mean they could walk into Bezden right now and be Mekayim. If Bezden already accepted testimony from two other people about his Chasima at a time where he wasn't a Negei Bedavar yet, at a time that he could have said his own Eidos, maybe they would have a right to take it out of their database and use it right now. So the Gemara says that doesn't either work. Maybe this is the Shvera Halacha that came. Very similar. If someone said Eidos somebody else at a time that they weren't related. And then he ends up marrying his daughter, and now they're related. So right now he wouldn't be able to say the same thing. He can't be mekayim his own chasima now, because now he's a kariv. But others could. Says the Gemara, same kasha. Who loy mehem and achrin mehemni? If he wouldn't be believed to say edus about himself, does it make sense that others would be believed to say edus about him? Maybe say the same teretz and dritimul. Still here, it's checkmate, because here the great Rav Nachman said that it's going to be true that others will be believed to say Eidos to be Mekayim is Chasima Afal Pi Shaloi Huchzik Sav Yodam Bebezde. So this perhaps is the very Shver Halacha. So again, Shochu Mitam, they sent the Halacha, and the comment was Vizui Shekosha B'din Amamas. And we're trying to figure out what this halacha might have been. We had a few different possibilities, but every possibility we had wasn't so shver. So it wasn't Vizui Shekosha B'din Amamas, because there was a way to interpret the halacha where maybe it's a chiddush, maybe it's something that we need to figure out, understand, spend some time. But zuish akasha b'dinei mamonos, nothing was so terribly shver. But the Gemara says, maybe this is it. Maybe I just found it. A halacha that says that if somebody said eidos, at the time that he said eidos, he was a kosher eid. Later, something happened that makes him apostolate. I mean, it doesn't impact the original eidos, but meaning right now he wouldn't be able to say eidos, such as at the time he wasn't a kariv, and now he married this person, he said eidos about his daughter, so right now he is a kariv. He can't be mekayim his own chasima, but if others want to be mekayim his chasima, they can't. And the Gemara thinks that zuhi shakashav dini mamonis. That's such a, it's like the most shver halacha, right? We're coming to an end of the three bavas. This is like the shversta halacha. This is just so impossible to understand. Why? Because how is it possible that he can't be mekayim his own chasima, but others would be able to be mekayim his chasima? You can't tell me the teretz that the Gemara said for the two previous cases, because Rav Nachman already knocked that out. But the Gemara says, well, my kusha, I don't understand this kasha either. Dilmuk zeris melachi. It could be this soid that a karev is posuleidos really has nothing to do with svara. Meaning, if Karev is posuleidos based on Svara, so the Gemara says, then this is a contradiction that I can't live with. But who said that a Karev that's posuleidos is posuleidos machma Svara? I don't think it has anything to do with Svara. The reason a Karev is posuleidos, meaning the reason you can't say Eidos about your Shver, is Gzeres HaMelechi, it's Gzeres HaKosov. Di'iu loy mehemen v'achri mehemni. V'lami shun de'meshaker. And if that's the case, then again, you have to understand Pashem Shana and this Gemara, this shouldn't be an issue. This is only an issue if we're dealing with Svara. But if the reason that this person can't be Mekayim is on Chasima, is in this case, because it's Nagei Akarev, is based on a prostate Gzeres HaKosov, but it's not rooted in Svara, then this contradiction doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me that he can't be Mekayim is on Chasima, but others would be able to be Mekayim is on Chasima. But the Gemara said, how do I know that Akarev is Pasul Eidos? Not because we don't trust him, but rather because of Gzeres HaKosov, and this Gemara is tucked away, a very famous Gemara, the Eloi Teimahachi, Moshe V'Haran L'Chei Sanon, Mishum D'Loi Mehemniu, Moshe V'Haran will be Pasul Zayedus. For their Korav, is it going to be because we don't trust him? El Gzeres HaMelech, Ushlo Yidu Lehem, Hachi Nami, Gzeres Melech, Ushlo Yidu Ksav, Yodoi, L'Chei Sanoi. Bottom line is, yeah.
No, but the problem is that the MS, they are believed, meaning, regularly, you don't have a Korav, it's not called Gabe, but over here,
the problem is it's impacting the right. The issue is not that you're saying Eidos about yourself. That's never an issue by Kim Chesamas. The issue is that it's impacting the father-in-law.
No, I understand. But I'm saying is, but Kolzman, they can be made about themselves.
Right.
Okay? So therefore, we don't see it as a problem of Karv, because on Karv it's out. We know that concept. Elamasa, the problem over here, it has to be Chashma Shaka. What are the reasons?
Right. Kiyam Chaisamos happens in one of three ways. One of the three ways is an aide walks into Bezdin and he says that signature, that John Hancock on that shtar, it's my own signature. That's okay. I, Adam Karavetz Alatzmai, how does that work? Akasha Famaisa. It works. Kim starts through Rabbanon, whatever the answer is. Okay. But that definitely works. That's not the problem in our Gemara, because that's inherent to all Kim Chaisamos. That's never an issue. The problem with our Gemara is that the Eidos that was said, this shtar, is a shtar that involves Kraven. Because the Eid is related to one of the Bali Dover. Now, an Eid can't say Eidos about a Bali Dover. The reason this shtar is being permitted in Bezdin is because at the time that the Eid testified, at the time that he signed the shtar, He wasn't a karev. He later married this person's daughter. That was the example. And as a result, he became a karev. But at the time, not. But because he's a relative, because he's a karev, this second he can't be mekayim mishtar. Because it's true, the original testimony happened at the time that he was able to say edus. So we're not going to go to mafreya now and make that disqualified. But right now, I can't be mekayim mishtar. Stating that, if somebody else wants to be mekayim mishtar, he could. And the Gemara had a problem. That if you wouldn't trust me, then why are you trusting somebody else? But the Gemara says that's only a problem if we taka don't trust you. But if we really trust you, there's no chash mashaker. The only reason you're not accepting my edus is because of Exeris HaMelech, Vaharaya, that's the way the Psal Kurva works, and it's not related to Chashash Mashaker. Because Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKoyin would not be able to say Eidos, even to their Kraven, they would be Pasul Eidos together, and no one in the world is going to think that they are Pasul Eidos Be'etzem because of Chashash Mashaker. It must be it's Exeris HaKosim. It's Exeris HaMelech. The Torah is full with Exeris HaMelech. This is another one that you chalk up as Exeris HaKosim. If that's the case, says the Gemara, then this whole problem doesn't bother me.
And if it is a chashash mashaker, what's the problem?
I said, you're asking too many kashas already.
No, I'm saying the whole kashas comes because he has a negius, it's a korov. So I'm saying the kashas, why how could you be someone else over me, over my own signature? What?
It's more mistake.
It's more mistake that you're lying, because you don't have to come on to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, there is a swara. Normally you'd say, I know best my thing. And chanami. I'm Choshir B'Shaka, because you have a
Negeus. The whole Kasha from Gazlin, the original Gemara's Kasha of Gazlin is the same Kasha as Eiu Lemon. Yeah, because he's a Gazlin here
and now. Yeah, there's a reason, there's a concern, yeah. That's what the whole Kasha is all about.
Right, so look at the Rashbam's Lashon. V'haloi Shema hu atzmei chosam boi hayoim sheker. Sharei Gazlin hu. U'kshemakirim chasim masoi ma'onu marvichim bekach. V'haloi Shema pasol hu. Either way, Zokta Gemara Vayter. So what is the Shalcha Mitah? What's this halacha that was Vizui Shekosha B'dinei Malmenes? Ella says the Gemara Lo'ilam Kedamina Meikot. The halacha was what we started with. Not the first attempt, because that we knocked that in a second, but the second attempt. Ben Shemocha ben Nichsei Ovev B'chayi Ovev Umeis B'noi Moitz Miyad Alukuchois. There was a man who sold Nechasim while his father was alive. Then he died. Then the grandfather died. And now the grandson wants to be Moitz Miyad Alukuchois. He could. And we said, V'zui Shekosha B'dinei Malmenes. Why? Because V'leim Ruleya V'chamaz B'vat Mapik. It'll make sense. Your whole schus is machmas your father. Your father sold it. So how in the world would you have an ability to go now? How in the world would you have an ability to go now with him? The Gemara said, why is that shver? Why is it the zui shekosha b'dinei mominis? Dilma matziyo amar mikoy chavu d'abakasino. When a grandson yashins, he's yashining from his father. Maybe he's yashining really from his grand. And the Gemara brought a pasuk for it. Tachas avisecha, yu bonecha tishisei milosar mechol aretz. Zok the Gemara, you have to say, in order to understand what this shalku mitam was, that lo'olam kedarmina meikara, u'dikokasha l'cha tachas avisecha, yu bonecha, wasn't that a raya that the grandson yashins directly from his grandfather? And if he yashins directly from his grandfather, then there's nothing so shver with this halacha. No, ahu bebrocha ksiv. Maybe that's talking about brocha, meaning maybe that's not talking about how seder natsan achish mishpat. Dig a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Mem Hei. It's a bracha that the Zayda will see 8 o'clock. Whatever exactly the point of that pasuk is, but maybe we're not discussing the lumdus of mishmush, not mishmush, of how Seder Nachlus goes. Yerusha Bekever, but the Gemara says Mimatzis Amir Bracha Ksiv. Avol Inyan Din Aloy. Is it possible to say that the way the Yerusha works really is that the grandson Yarshin from his father gets it from his father, and it's not that he goes directly from his Zayd of Atanya. It's really Vatanan in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if there was a man in a house together with his father, they both died. And the question is, who died first? Did the father die first, or did the son die first? The Yarshia of Watining that Ben Meis Rishon, V'achakach Meis Ha'av. U'Bal Choyv, wait, what did the Bal Choyv say? Ha'av Meis Rishon, V'achakach Meis Ha'ben. That the father died first, and then the son died first. Why did they want the father to die first? Because if the father died first, and the son Yarshin the father, it comes out now he has Nechassim. He has Nechassim, the Bal Choyv has, from where to be Goyfa. What's the Kasha? My love, Yarshay Ha'av Bini. When we talk about the Yarshay Ha'av, we're talking about the sons. And when the Mishnah talks about Moirishav, it means Achiv. So let's just talk about one. Yarshei of Bnei. There's the Yarshei of, and there's the Yarshei HaBen. There was a father, this is not easy. There's a father and a son, they're both in a house. The house falls down, the father and the son both die. The Shaila is who died first. The Yarshei of are saying that the son died first. The Yarshei HaBen are saying that the father died first. So the Shaila is who died first, right? That's the question. The Gemara is timing that maybe in this case the Yarshei HaBen and Yarshei are really the same person, because perhaps the Yarshei that we're discussing over here was the grandson, and Manavshach, the grandson's going to be the one that's going to end up getting it. The Shaila just is who died first, but at the end of the day, whether the Zayda died first or whether the son died first, they're the only game in town. They're the ones that are going to end up yashing. So what's the kash of Esau? What difference does it make, says the Gemara, who died first, if at the end of the day the Yarshim are the grandsons, and Mamanafshach, the way a grandson yarshins his grandfather is he gets it from his father who got it from his father. So whether the Zayda died first, so then the father yarshined it to give it to the grandson, or whether the father died first, at the end of the day, the grandson is getting it from his father. So that Mamanavshach, the father is going to end up having the nechasim, and they'll be from where the Baal Chayv should be able to be Gaiva. I hope this makes sense. Says the Gemara, does to me. What difference does it make who died first? I have a right to take it, because the way a grandson always yarshins his grandfather is through his father. So at some point, the father is for sure getting it. Right, the father was the one who died without chayvus. The Zayda didn't have chayvus. The grandson doesn't have chayvus. The father had chayvus. If the father takes possession of these nechasim for 1 second, now the Baal Chayv can pounce. Now the Baal Chayv can say, it's mine. And even though the father's not alive anymore, you can be going from nechasim mishubadim, the yarshim adam mishubadim, they have a right to go ahead and take it. Some of the raid that we talked about this week. And the Gemara thought that whether or not the father ever got it depends on was he alive at the time that the Zayda died or not. Meaning, if the Zayda died first, then the father got it. If the Zayda died second, then the father never got it. But if you tell me that the way Yerushas HaZayda works is always through the father, then at some point the father's getting it anyways. So Marav Shach the Baal Chayv is always going to have a schus to be able to go take it. Elamai, what do you see from here? That you get it directly from the grandfather. So don't tell me that that pasuk over there in Tehillim, Tachas HaVisach Yubba Nachat Yishazem Elusam B'chol Haaretz, means that bebracha, but it's not the lumdus of how Yerusha works. It's very much the lumdus of the way Yerusha works. Either way, says the Gemara, that it's only a raya if you assume that who's the Yarshim over here in this Mishnah? It's the grandson. So then you have a kasha, Mamanavshach, the father's taking possession. Well, Yarshayov, Achiv. Over here, the Yarshim were somebody else. It was the brothers. It's not the Enochos. There's no Sheiches to a grandson yarshining his grandfather. If this is a grandson yarshining his grandfather, maybe it would be a good kasha. But that's not what's going on over here. The Yarshim over here were actually brothers. That's who the Yarshei of is. And Mayrisha v'achid avuah. And Melech has nothing to do with this. And we are going to pause a little, maybe stop a little prematurely, and just speak out a little rage, because I think this is a very needed exhale over here. So we're literally coming to a close on a 50 blat sugya of Perek Yishnoich, bigger than many mesachdas in chess. Perek Yishnoichlin and Perek Mishimeis, which of course discuss the halachas of Nachlois, the halachas of Shchiv Merah. So there's a few loose ends that we need to speak out as far as raid goes. So let's just go through a few aras. So number one, we had earlier in the week, we had an idea that we said we'd get back to, and that is mitzvah ala yisoymim lefroya chayvas avir, that there's an obligation that yisoymim have to pay the chayv of avim. And the Gemara said that it could be that's true even for a milva al peh. So even though a milva al peh, you can't be goyva from the chasim mishubadim, so technically the malva would not have any right mitzad gidrei chayshem mishpat to be able to go over to the yisoymim and try to collect the money that their father owed him. No more than this Malbu would have a right to go to the Lekuchas to collect. Because the Yarshim is already one step removed, and the only schus from a Chayshim Mishpat standpoint that you would have to go collect from the Yarshim would be if there's a Shibud, and there's no Shibud when we're talking about a Movapah. But there's a new halacha, a mitzvah. Mitzvah ala yesoimim lefroya chayves avim. And as we'll see in a moment, this mitzvah goes very much to the core of some of the sugyas of Perek Yesh Neichai. This Gemara, mitzvah al yisoymen, lefroya chayves aviyim, is mentioned in Masechtas Ksubis, Dav Tzadik Aleph Amid Beis as well. And Rashi over there, Masechtas Ksubis says, that the reason the yisoymen have a mitzvah to pay up their father's chayves is mishum kvoid aviyim. The reason is, it's kavod. Kavod es avicha, v'esimecha. The mitzvah of kavod, of kibud, is what obligates the Yisoyimim to pay up their father's chayv. Says Rashi, Ella, however, she'in lebezdin lekoyfen al kach. Bezdin, however, wouldn't have a right to force the Yisoyimim to pay this chayv. The lav mitzvah saseh mefuresh asi. Because although it's a mitzvah, it's not a mefuresh apostling in the Torah. Kesukah or kelulav, ella mitzvah ba'alma midirabonim. As Isaac Rashi. Beautiful Rashi. So says Rashi, mitzvah liyisoy mefroy chayves aviyem, that's mitzad kibud of a. But says Rashi, if it's mitzad kibud of a, and you could argue that maybe Bezdin would have a right to force this person to be mekayim this mitzvah, just like you find by sukkah and lulav, says Rashi, no. You know why? Because it's not a mitzvah saseh mefureshes kisukko kelulav, el a mitzvah ba'alma midrabanan. It's a mitzvah ba'alma midrabanan. It's for that reason we wouldn't have a right to force. Tosfos in Masechtas Ksubis, five blot earlier, on that pevav and Allah brings this Rashi. And Tosfos says, I don't agree with Rashi's Yisoid. Rashi says that the Rabbanon don't have a right to force a person to be Mekayim, a mitzvah the Rabbanon. Ve'ein nira, the Ashkechon, the Koifim, the mitzvah the Rabbanon. You find that Bezin does have a right. And even though the Gemara's cases are always mitzvah deiraisa, sukkah, lulav, but you find that Bezin would force a person even to be Mekayim, a mitzvah the Rabbanon. Kigoin, what's Tosfos' example? Mitzvah Lekayim devrei ames. Darmina ba'shelech, gitin daf mem, amadalf, the Koifim, as Hayarshim. So you see, there's an idea of mitzvah Lekayim devrei ames. That Bezdin has a right to force. Zok Tosis, is that a mitzvah deiraisa? Is that a posik that's mifureshesi kesukah kalulav? Absolutely not. It's no different than mitzvah liyisayim lefreya chayv aviyim. And if you find the Bezdin can force for that, they can force for this. In other words, you walk away from here with a machlekes Rashi and Tosis. Then when you find this idea that you could be koifa a person to be mekayim a mitzvah, if a person says sukkah sheni yoyse lulav sheni noitel Bezdin is makin va'unchen Tosis and Nazir, we've spoken out a lot of rate from this from Shulam David Zolzayin Gezunt and Stark with regards to the gedarim of this din kfiya. Is it makas mardos? Could they give even more than 39 malkas? There's a taste of someone that has a suffix about that. But the bottom line is that we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Is it only true for mitzvahs deiraisa, or would it be true for a mitzvah the rabbanon as well? But the emes is another chiddush in this Rashi. Rashi saying that mitzvah liyisayim lefroya chayv aviyim, despite the fact that the driver of this mitzvah is kovod aviyim, still it's not a mitzvah deiraisa. It's not a that's mefuresh as kesukah kelulav. And l'chura at first glance, Rashi is very tamua. Because we know that the mitzvah that a child has to honor his father is true while his father's alive, and it's true after his father dies as well. The Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, Mechabdei Bechayev, and Mechabdei Lachamoyse. A person has an obligation to be Mechabdei his father even after his father dies. So Avivite Rashi is telling me that mitzvah liyisayim lefroyechev aviyem is mishum kvoid aviyem. The wise Rashi is saying that it's not an aseim of Ereshes. L'chayr, it is an aseim of Ereshes. It's the mitzvah of Kabbat HaSavich HaVesimech. And the truth is, I looked around, and the Poskim all say that the mitzvah of Kibbut of Ein, of La'ach HaMoyse, is a mitzvah deiraisa, just like it is when a father's alive. So it's not the pshat that Rashi maybe holds that Mechabde La'ach HaMoyse is only a mitzvah Rabbanon. That would be a very big chiddush. Because at first glance, there doesn't seem to be a shita like that. Everyone seems to say that the mitzvah of Mechabde La'ach HaMoyse is the same mitzvah deiraisa that a person has while his father's alive. So l'chura, there's two chiddushim in Rashi. Chiddush number one, Rashi's saying that on a mitzvah d'rabbanon there's no makim v'inshin. Tais already addressed that. That's Tais's kasha k'subas pei vavim and aleph. But there's another chiddush that the Pesachim don't discuss, and that is Rashi seems to be saying that the mechabdoi la'acha moisoi is a mitzvah d'rabbanon. L'chura, kabbet v'tzadicha v'asimecha is a mitzvah d'raisa. It is an asein v'fur reshe as kesuka kelulav. And even though it's la'acha moisoi, the poskim all seem to be of the opinion that la'acha moisoi is going to be a mitzvah d'raisa. So what's pashup shad in this Rashi? So just tell you, behektim famous tshuva from Rav Kiveger. So there's one chelik of this tshuva that's well known. When you learn the sugyas of Kibud Av Em, you go through this tshuva from Rav Kiveger. It's Shiloh's tshuva from Rav Kiveger, Simen Samaches. And the Shiloh that was sent to Rav Kiveger was, there was a person, both his parents died, and both his parents left a will. They both left a tzava. But the two tzavas contradicted each other. So his mother wrote in his will that he should do kacha, and his father wrote in his will that he should do something else. And the shayla was, what's he supposed to do? Who should he listen to? Now, at first glance, the shayla told Reb Kiveger, I would think I'm supposed to listen to my father, because that's Kibud Av Em 101. If your mother tells you one thing and your father tells you something else, of course he's supposed to listen to your father. Bezok Reb Kiveger, hinei hadavar pashut. It's pashut that that's not a taina. Why? Because what's the reason that when your mother tells you one thing, your father tells you something else, you listen to your father, not your mother? The shneim because each, the mother is obligated to listen to your father, just like you're obligated to listen to your father. But over here, your mother's not alive anymore. So there's no way that your mother right now has an obligation to listen to your father. So the whole svar of is not applicable. So if it's not applicable, it doesn't make any sense to have that svar. It says from Kiveger, if you want to sushtel to that, if you need precedence, what happens if someone has parents that are divorced and the mother says one thing and the father says something else? That's a mafurish gemara. The gemara says in that case, there is no halacha that you listen to your father over your mother. Because being that the parents are divorced, she has no obligation to listen to her husband. She's not married to him anymore. So there's no atav imecha chayovim b'chvoidai. So based on that, you're not going to have the atav imecha chayovim b'chvoidai as well. Then Reb Kiveger digresses towards the end of the tshuva and he says, the emes is if a parent leaves a tzava, does a child have an obligation to fulfill what it says in the tzava mitzad the halacha of Kibud Av Em? Or maybe not. Kiveger says, I'm not sure. Tzarech Iyun L'dina. He says, I'm not sure. I don't know. Kiveger is a tzarech Iyun. He's not sure whether or not a child even has an obligation to fulfill a tzava. Now, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, yeah, there's nothing to talk about. Kiveger learned yesh noichlan amish ameis also. He knows these sugyas. But he wants to know mitzad kibud av eim. Is there a din kibud av eim to fulfill a tzava or not? And Kiveger says the reason he's mesopik is because be'emes he's seen stiras in whether or not a child has an obligation to honor his father after his father dies. On the one hand, it's a gemara mufreshes mechabde bechayev and mechabde bemeis. Pasha, that's the way it's supposed to be. But Zok Reb Kiveger, there's another halacha. We know kabed esavicha vesimecha l'rabbi sechicha agadol, that a person has an obligation to honor his older brother. Stating that, Ramban says that if a person's father dies, he no longer has an obligation to honor his older brother. Ma kesha, ma'in shmitei tzlar sinai. What does the father dying have to do with now you not having an obligation to honor your older brother? Says the Ramban, alumnus. Because really there's no mitzvah to honor your older brother. You have a chiyuv covet to your older brother. It works like mishmush, like today's daf. The way it works is that you have an obligation to honor your father. A father gets covet when his bechor gets covet. So memela, when you honor your older brother, you're honoring your father. Zok Ramban, that only makes sense if your father's alive. But if your father's not alive anymore, then what's the point in honoring Achich HaGol? Fake Reb Kiveger, what do you mean? Mechabde Mechayev, Mechabde Lachamaisai. So it's true the father's not alive. That doesn't mean, however, that there's no obligation to be Mechabed him. And if there's an idea that when you're Mechabed Achich HaGol, your father's getting covered, then what difference does it make if the father's alive or if the father's not alive? Zok Reb Kiveger, Ulezet Tzorech Loimar L'chalik. You have to say a chilek. There's two different types of covet that will manifest itself in a nafgamina whether you do have a chiyuv covet lachamoisai or you don't have a chiyuv lachamoisai. The Inyan says Reb Kiveger shehu covet gedula be'atzmusai, something that's inherently covet. Kegoin loimer abamari the bozem magbia kvoid aviv zehu shayach gam lachamisa. That's something that you have even lachamisa. Avol kibud lasis nachas ruach la'aviv. But a covet where it's not something that's inherently covet, but it's something that your father enjoyed, he had a nah from. So memela, you had an obligation to do it for him while he was alive. Ki ein machila umashkeo. Right, if you give your father a cup of coffee, you're being meroimim kvoidoi shalavicha because you made him a coffee? No, you're making him feel good. You're giving him a nachas ruach. And covet is mechayiv you to do that, to give your father a nachas ruach to the extent that that's something that you're able to do. But it's not something that Reb Kiveger calls covet v'gedula be'atzmusai, So that, says Rav Kiva, doesn't make sense you should have lacha moisai. Because you're going to make your father a coffee if he's not alive, he's not going to have a nachas ruach from it. So something that's covered v'gdula b'atmusa, again, I'm just going to work with Rav Kiva's lashon, that you have even lacha moisai. But something that falls into the realm of lasis nachas ruach la'aviv, that's something that doesn't make any sense that you should have lacha moisai. So Zok Rav Kiva, avada, there's an idea of mechabdi lacha moisai. But it's only for covid, that's covid v'gdula b'atzmusai. As it relates to being mechabed your older brother, that is not a covid b'etzim. The father is not b'etzim b'chubit. And nisroi me when you give covid to his older brother, it's just that your father enjoys it. It's no different than being machiloi, mashkeyo. You're giving him nachas ruach, you're going to be give covet to his oldest son. But being that it's something that's related to nachas ruach, it's something that has no shaykhus to hacha moisai. Says Rav Kiva Eger, what about tzava? Where does tzava fall in? When you honor your father's dying wishes, is that an idea of covet be'etzin, or is it not covet be'etzin? And Rav Kiva Eger is not sure. He goes back and forth. He says, I would think my muscha rishon would be it's more of a nachas ruach. You listen to your father. He asks you to do something, you listen, you're giving him an achas ruach. And that's why Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha obligates you to do that. But he says he's besupik. He's not sure. Would you have a lachamisa? Would you have a, not have a lachamisa? Zokter, I think I have one raya. You know what my raya is? Mitzvah liyisayim lefrayach ha'vizaviyim. You see, there's an idea that yisayim have an obligation to be pereach ha'vizaviyim. And what's the yisayim? Kibudav. It's lacha moisai. Must be mechabli lacha moisai. But what do you say from there then, says Rav Kiva Eger, that listening to a tzava, honoring a tzava, is included in the type of covid that you have lacha moisai. If it's included in the type of covid that you have lacha moisai, that's why there'd be a mitzvah al yisoyim l'chfreya chayvasavim. Then Rav Kiva Eger says one more ha'ara. He says, I have another issue with tzavas. Men, fathers leave tzavas and they say they want the money to go here, I want the money to go there. It could be mitzvah kibud of the end, there'd be no obligation. Again, mitzvah can be ramez, divrei shchivmara, those sugyas is not what we're discussing now. Alts the kibud of the end shabbat, says Rav Kiva Eger, and I'll tell you why. Because we know the person does not have to spend money to be mekayim the mitzvah kibud of the end. It's mishal of. You don't have to spend your own money for kibud of the end. So listen to this chap. If a father leaves a tzavah, the second the father dies, the son's yarshin it. Once they yarshin it, do they have an obligation now to take that money and give it, let's say, to somebody else? They're taking their own money. You have no obligation of keeping it on aim when it comes to your own money. So Kivega says, mitzadeh too, he's mesopik. So basically, two svaras why maybe it's not so poshit that there'd be an obligation to honor its avot when it comes to chayshim mishpah, when it comes to dinei mominus. Number one, mechabdi lachamoysoi isn't always true. How do you know that? And the fact there's no chiyav achicha agad lachamoysoi. It's because any davar shal nachas ruach, you don't have to do lachamoysoi. And it could be satisfying its avot falls into that realm. Number two, there's no chiv to spend money when it comes to keeping up a name. Mishal of, yeah, machilu mashkiyoi. Take your father's food and feed it to him. That's your obligation. But your own food, it's not something you're, it's a beautiful thing to do, but it's not something you're obligated to do. Mitzad the mitzvahs keep it up a name. And once the father dies, the son's yarshin. If they yarshin, at this point, it's already mishal ahem. They're not going to perhaps have an obligation to go ahead and be mekayim keep it up. But coming back to unzer Rashi, we have a Rashi. Mitzvah liyasoyimim lefrei chayvaz avir. Zok Rashi ain't kaifin. Says, you know why? Because it's not an aseh mefureshes. And if it's not an aseh mefureshes, Rashi's shita, not like Tesis, Rashi's shita is that there's no din kfiya on a mitzvah derabbanan. You said, how could you tell me it's a mitzvah derabbanan? Rashi himself said that what's the yisoid of mitzvah, the yisoid of the frey l'chayv esavim? It's kiburav. And all the place can say that kiburav, even l'acham moisoid, is a chiyav deraisa. It's not a chiyav derabbanan. Yeshloi mar two svaras. The two svaras, Rav Kiva Eger and the Tshuva. Number one, there's a svara to say that maybe this is not a mechabdi lacha moisa deraisa. Maybe this is only a mechabdi lacha moisa derabbanan. That's true, that's the halacha. And that's what Kiva Eger proved. That's what Kiva Eger proved that there's a mechabdi lacha moisa. But it could be it being that it is more in the realm of nachas ruach. Maybe it's not a real mechabdi lacha moisa where it's a mitzvah deraisa, it'll only be a mitzvah derabbanan. Or the other svara, Rav Kiva Eger was mired in the Tshuva. And that is, you never have a chiv deraisa to go do it mishalach. You only have a chiv to spend your father's money. And over here, once you yarshin the money, if you're going to pay up chayvus avicha, you're spending your own money. You have no obligation to do them a deraisa. So Zok Rashi, there is an idea mechabdi lacha moisa. That's true. And this idea has shaykhus there, but that's not the mitzvah deraisa. Why wouldn't this be a mitzvah? So they write, so two possibilities, the two svaras Rav Kiva Eger discusses in his tshuva, I think would each be a tshuva, a reason, shtei tshuvas bedavar, perhaps, why you wouldn't have a regular mitzvah deraisa of mechabdoi la'achar moisoi, because it could be over here you wouldn't have the regular mitzvah of kibud aveim. Either way, that is the first ha'ara. The second ha'ara is so we had yesterday's daf. The Gemara spoke about Reb Zeira. And the Gemara said that there was a shaila of Nafal Abayis Olav Al Imoy, where the Tanakhama said Eilav Eilav Moedim Sheyachloiku. Rabbi Akiva said Moedad Nibezu Shanachasim Becheskasim. The Gemara said Becheskas me. Rav Elo said, Becheskes Yar She'en. Rav Zeira said, Becheskes Yar She'abet. He saw the Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira went from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, come b'shitasi to Rav Elo. He realized that Rav Elo was right, and he got up and he remarked, Shma mino, Avira de Eretz Yisrael machken. That when I was in Bavel, I thought Rav Elo was wrong, but now in Eretz Yisrael, I see he's right, and you see from here the skula of Avira de Eretz Yisrael, that Avira de Eretz Yisrael is Machim. So two Ha'aris, and then we'll segue it into this week's parasha. That is, so why is it that Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machim? So there's many different pshatim that are given. Just to mention two, the Sfurna in the end of Parashas Noyach says that this psukim tucked away. Right, Parashas Lech Lecha begins, Vayeva Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha. Hashem comes to Avram, and he tells him, I want you to go up to Eretz Yisrael. But really, in the end of Parashas Noach, Avram Avinu was already on his way to Eretz Yisrael. The second to last passing of Parashas Noach. Vayikach Terech es Avram Benoy, Ve'es Loit Ben Haram, Ben Benoy. So he takes, this is today's staff also, he takes his son Avram, he takes Ben Benoy, I'm just getting confused, getting traumatized reading this passage. His enikol the esorai ka losoi ish es Avram Benoy. Vayetzu ita me'ur kazim lo lachasai. They go to Eretz Canaan, or they're on their way to Eretz Canaan. Vayavoyu at Charan. They come to Charan. Vayesh v'sham. Vayu yimei terach ham yishonam asayim shonam. Vayomas terach v'charan. Then vayim yishonam al Avram. Lechucho, I want you to leave Charan. I want you to go el ha'oretz asher rekha. But you see in the end of Parshas Noach that Avram Avinu was already on his way to Eretz Canaan before the tzivoy, before Vayem Hashem al Avram lech lecha. By the way, the Ramban asks, Hashem tells Avram, go el Eretz Asher Rekha, and he doesn't tell him where to go. What does Avram Avinu do? Punches into GPS, Eretz Canaan. How do you know to go to Eretz Yisrael? Hashem didn't tell him that. He told him el Eretz Asher Rekha. So one pshat the Ramban says is because he was already on his way to Eretz Canaan. So he doesn't know where he's supposed to go, but I was anyways going to Eretz Canaan. Let me continue to go to Eretz Canaan. But here's the question, why did Avram Avinu want to go to Eretz Canaan before the tzivoy? Bishloima after the tzivoy. After it was neskala to him what Eretz Canaan was, I get it. But they're already going to Eretz Canaan. Terach wants to go to Eretz Canaan. Maybe Avram Avinu. But Terach, why is he going to Eretz Canaan? Says the Sfurna, the reason they were going to Eretz Canaan is because it was a land that was muchenes el gram hamailos bemuskalos. It was a place that a person could reach intellectual heights. V'hoisa ritzuya mikol ha'aratzos. It was the best of all the lands. Ka'amru eretz asher Hashem alekecha doyrishoisa. And the reason is because lehuzak avira begeshem hamavol. Because the atmosphere in Eretz Canaan was not affected from the Mabel. Ka'avir shal ha'aratzos. Ka'amru, like the pasuk says in Yecheskel, lo gushma biyoim zam. V'kvar amru chazal. So it says the Sefurna. Avir shel Eretz Yisrael machkim was true before Matan Torah. It's not even unique to Torah. It's a place that's muchenes el grama mailois ben muskalos. It was an oretz that was ritzuya mikol arotzes, and you know when it began? Post-Dar Mabel. So if you want to feel, you want to breathe air of pre-Dar Mabel, you go to Eretz Yisrael. Because that was an Eretz where like Gushma B'Yoyim Zan, the Mabel never affected it, and that is the basis for Avir Eretz Yisrael Machin. There's a Mashal in Chedushi HaGadus where the Mashal says a different Pshat. He says that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu Veschanan El Hashem, but because of the Chet of the Meimeriva, in this week's parasha wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. But Tfilos Poyo Mechza, says the Gemara, and Hashem allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to climb the mountain and look and gaze and steer at Eretz Yisrael. Says the Marsha that when Moshe Rabbeinu steered at Eretz Yisrael, he infused in it a kedusha that made it muchin lechachma, and that's why Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim. Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim is a result of the gaze of Moshe Rabbeinu. But either way, there's an idea of Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim. Now, who said Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim? Reb Zeira. Now, it's interesting because there are many Gemaras in Shas where Reb Zeira was very infatuated with Eretz Yisrael. There's a Gemara in the end of Masechtas Ksuvos that Reb Zeira was trying to avoid Reb Yehuda because Reb Yehuda was of the opinion that a kol ha'olam yibavel Eretz Yisrael over ba'aseh, Shenemar, Bavela, Yuvo, Vesham Yu, Adyon Pakti Yasim, Nom Hashem. You now let her go up to Eretz Canaan. Erev Zera very much wanted to go to Eretz Canaan. This is Gemara Megillah, not Vavam and Aleph. There's many Gemaras in Shas. The Gemara says Reb Zera fasted many Tanesim to forget Talmud Bavli. So when he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he should be able to learn Talmud Eretz Yisrael. So this is another Gemara on this theme of Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkin. But I'm going to tell you something unbelievable. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Yuma, Af Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing the Soir Shal Yom Kippur, Par Yom HaKippurim, real intense Avodas Yom HaKippurim Gemaras. And in that Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiya, Amruk, I made Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Bavloi Tipshon, these foolish Babylonians. Mishum de dairi ba'ara de chashoicha amri shmaita de mechashchon. They live in a land that's choshech. And it's for that reason the halach is that they say are all choshech. The Ritva on this Gemara brings a tshuva from the Rambam. So you have a tshuva sarambam, that tshuva, it's brought down in the Ritva in this Gemara. Listen to this. Pirish harambam zal b'tshuva. You have to hear every word in this tshuva. Shela de Rabbi Yirmiya, de lo tameh. De Rabbi Yirmiya who said, Hani bavloi tipshoi, that because the Babylonians live in an ara de chashoicha, they say mili de chashoicha. This is Rabbi Yirmiya l'shitasa. He said, there's another Gemara. Rabbi Yirmiya said in Sanhedrin, Samech Talim and Aleph, that when the Pasuk says, in Eicha, b'machshakim hoshivani kimeisei oylam, that we were destined to live in a land that's choshech, zet Talmud Bavli. It's referring to Talmud Bavli. That Rabbi Yirmiya had a very low opinion of the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel. He believed Bavloi Tepshoi, the Machshakim Hashivani, is that Talmud Bavli, as if there was something wrong with the Torah that was coming out above the Taima. What was the reason? Because he saw a sharp contrast between the Torah that came from Bavel and the Torah that came from Eretz Yisrael. V'Rab Zera Nami, says the Rambam. Rab Zera too, you find. He wanted to forget the Torah that he learned in Bavel. Because when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he saw the Torah that was coming out of Eretz Yisrael. It was on such a different level, he didn't want to have anything to do anymore with the Torah in Bavel. However, says the Rambam, wasn't always that way. Elabi me Rabba v'Rav Yosef. The Abaye v'Rava, the Havelu Shema, the Skizav Seichas Apoel. It was dafke true in the door of Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Abaye v'Rava. Those were times where it was very hard to learn Torah in Bavel. And because it was hard to learn Torah in Bavel, because of pogroms, because of the Shmadis, right? Remember the Gemara, Seichas Apoelim, with Rabba Bar Nachmeni, they killed him, no one even knew he died. Yatsan Hashmasei v'Tahaira, Safik Baharis Kaidim, Safik Seir Lovin Kaidim, Festerate over there. Etc. So either way, Abaye, Rava, Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, it was in those times where it was very difficult to learn Torah in Bavel, then, b'machshakim, hoshivani, kimeisei olam, that's referring to the Talmud Bavel. V'amrita nami perek elu treifetz, arku Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, v'rab zera amar lu arka, Rabbi Zera too lived in that dark. Shaya baruch ha-machos ha-shmodes, v'amar lu Rabbi Zera, shem lo-yishma. So Rabbi Zera, who lived in that dark, in the dark of Rabbi, and Rabbi Yosef, and Abaye v'Rav, and Rabbi Yirmiya, these Amoraim all had a very low opinion of the Torah that came out of Bavel, because they lived at a time where it was taka very hard to learn Torah in Bavel. Therefore, it was Hani Bavloi Tipshoi. It was B'machshakim Yishivani Kinesi Oilam. That's why Rabbi Zera wanted to forget the Torah. That's why Rabbi Zera said, Avir Der Yisrael Machkim. Because he lived in a tkufa where it was really challenging to learn Torah in Bavel. V'amrina v'chulu v'chulu. Avo, I'm 40. Achreke niskabra Torah b'Bavel. But generations later, says the Rambam, Torah became very strong in Bavel. Kolshkein b'imei Rav Ashi. And it reached its pinnacle in the times of Rav Ashi. D'amrina b'imais Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi le'matzinu Torah v'gul v'makam echad. You see the Torah wax, Chazal wax poetic about the God of Rav Ashi. I thought he was from the Bavloi Tipshoi. Chas v'shol. Not Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi reached unbelievable. He was the author of the Talmud Bavel. He reached unbelievable madrigas. Either way, that's what the Rambam says. And ad kan divrei Rabbeinu Zal, zok de Ritva, the chayim heim l'moitzeim. It's a beautiful Rambam, says the Ritva. Either way, so the Rambam says that Rabbi Yirmiya said, Hani Bavloi Tipshoi. And l'shitasa he said in Sanhedrin, Chavdal, Rabbanal, Machshakim, Meshvanik, Beisri, Yoylam, said Talmud Bavli. And you see this theme by Rabbi Zera as well. Rabbi Zera fasted to forget Talmud Bavli. And you see that Rabbi Zera said, Avir, there it's Tzro, Machkim. So Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Zera, zok de Rambam, because they lived around the same time as Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Abaye, Barava. It was a time where it was very hard to learn Torah above. But years later, tkufas later, Kolshke v'imei Rav Ashi, everything changed. So here's the punchline. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, in Masechtas Erevin, Daf Samech Gimel Amud Aleph. He brings as follows. He brings that he found in the Chavis Yor. That the Chavis Yor says, that the Rishonim say, whenever there's a machloikis, Ravino and Rav Ashi, the halacha is like Ravino. Why is the halacha like Ravino? Zok the Chavis Yor. Because Ravino lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Ashi lived in Bavel, and Avira the Eretz Yisrael, Ahani lay the Ravino. He had Teres Eretz Yisrael, Avira the Eretz Yisrael Machim. Rav Ashi didn't, and it's for that reason Avira the Eretz Yisrael is going to be Machim. Brings later that he found the same exact thing in a sefer called Yichusei Tanon Vameiron. The author was Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav Kloyman Azal. And he says the same thing. V'shamati ani asoider, ki halocha kuravina im Rav Ashi. And the reason is because he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and chad minayu b'bnei Eretz Yisrael kitrei minam b'bnei bavel. For avirim Eretz Yisrael hoya, v'aviru v'schusad Eretz Yisrael garma, v'kabola b'yadeinu, b'kol sh'bnei Eretz Yisrael chelkum b'bnei bavel, halocha k'bnei Eretz Yisrael. That's what he brings. So the reason that halocha is like Ravina over Rav Ashi, because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Ashi lived in Bavel. So the halacha is going to be like the Bnei Eretz Yisrael over the Bnei Rav Ashi. I once thought that maybe that's why the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Keneged Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav and Shmuel were the two G'dayli Adar in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan was the Gadol Adar in Eretz Yisrael. Could be, it was the Avirid Eretz Yisrael Machim of Rabbi Yochanan, that's the reason the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rav Ashi. But I'm going to tell you something fascinating. There's a Ramban, Bamas. The Ramban says Mefurish. The Ramban says that whenever there's a machloikis, Rabba and Rav Zeira, the halacha is like Rav Zeira. You know why? He says two reasons. Number one, Shehu Basra. Rav Zeira lived after Rabba, so usually passing like the Basra. Va'odif lemitzvah kavosei da'avir Eretz Yisrael ach kemetveh. Because Rav Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Zeira was zeicha to avir Eretz Yisrael. So I was thinking like this. Kepshutei the makarta, the Chavis Yor, is this Ramban. You see in the Ramban this idea that avir Eretz Yisrael can impact the halacha. The halacha is like Rav Zeira over Rabba. Why like Rav Zeira over Rabba? Because Rav Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabba only lived above. So if the Ramban said halacha is like Rav Zeira over Rabba, because Avira Eretz Yisrael's machkin, zok to Chavis Yor, generations later, but zok to Chavis Yor, an achroin, that it could be, you could say the same thing regarding Ravina and Rav Ashi. That the halacha is like Ravina over Rav Ashi, because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ashi lived in Bavel. But l'chura, like this Jivas HaRambam, it could be a tzchaluk be a side. There's a chiluk between a machlekes Rav Zeira and Rabba, and Machlokes Ravina Rav Ashi. Why? Because the Rambam delineated his beautiful tshuva, where the Rambam said that lo ichol ador shoven when it came to Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. The word kufis, where Eretz Yisrael was very different than Bavel, where Avir Eretz Yisrael machim, the times of Abaya and Rava and Rabba and Rabbi Yosef and Rav Zeira and Rabbi Yirmiyos. He mentions Rav Zeira. He mentions Rabbi and those kufas, it was true. Rav Zeira said, Avir Eretz Yisrael machim. Rav Zeira was the one that fasted. He wanted to forget all his Torah. He wanted to forget all his Torah from Bava. But that was only true in that kufa. But Zach, the Rambam, years later it changed. Kosh came in Rav Ashi. In the times of Rav Ashi, fakert. The Torah in Bavel was stronger. Gavra Torah in Bavel. There it was just the opposite. Ravina Rav Ashi. Oh, there you don't have any more Davir there to show Machim. As it relates to Rabba and Rav Zeira, over there the halacha is going to be like Zeira over Rabba. Because in that Kufa was true. That's when it was very difficult to learn Torah in Bavel. Thus, Rabba and Rav Zeira, the halacha is going to be like Rav Zeira. But Ravina Rav Ashi, over there, fakert. That was the Kufa where the Torah was knocking in Bavel. If the Torah was knocking in Bavel, the halacha could be like Rav Ashi or Ravina. It's not muchach that you could say Avira there to Yisrael machim that the halacha should be like Ravina or Rav Ashi. That's true in the time where it was b'machshakim l'yishivani kimeitzei olam in Bavel, where there was a shas hashmodes. But in the time where Fakir Torah was neskaber, just because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael and Rav Ashi lived in Bavel doesn't necessarily mean that the Torah that was coming out of Eretz Yisrael was of any better quality than the Torah was coming out of Bavel. It would have no shaykhis to this halacha. One more hour? We'll stop it.